A Playlist Original.
Hey, what's up? It's your host, Tori, and who is ready to be petty? Welcome back to another episode of RTBB. I'm so glad you're here, and today you're in for a treat. It is the fourth year anniversary of Folklore and the third time I am recording an episode just about Folklore with Nick. This one does get off the rails because we start with my Eras tour experience, but it is very special to me because we covered our very first episode together. We did a review of Folklore back in 2020. First time Nick was ever on the podcast. Now he's been well over, 10 times. And then we covered it again in 2022. We did a second year anniversary and now the third year anniversary, I guess, of us recording. I think it's technically like the fourth summer, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. That adds up to four to me. But like, honestly, I literally have been like trying to figure it out. The meme with the math like is happening to me currently, so just bear with me. You don't need to know the numbers. All you have to know is we have two other episodes of Folklore commentary, Gaylor commentary, lyric analysis, and extensive inside jokes with you, the listeners. So if you want to listen to episodes 1 and 2, I have put them in the episode show notes. But then come back for episode 3. If this is your first Nick and Tori episode, some of them are very precise, but most of them go on side tangents galore. This one included. So if you are not into side tangents or us talking about our lives or anything like that, this is not the episode for you. But if you want to enjoy a lot of just like chitty chatty combos, stick around, buckle up, and enjoy the show. Nick is currently at a lake in Maine that I had the pleasure of visiting last year. The most gorgeous and supportive, wholesome community. And you'll hear about that and their fucking book club at the end of this episode. But he is at the lake, so he was using his literal like camper, like his trailer's Wi-Fi and his phone's data, so he gets cut off at the end. There's actually not too many audio issues up until the end where he just gets cut off. I've basically edited out everything else, so it's a pretty cohesive episode, but there is a point where he and I just end our conversation, and I'm gonna come back at the end to just wrap it all up because I don't want to leave you hanging like that. But that is just the trials and tribulations of not being in the stew, but being in a little trailer in the cutest place on earth. Okay, I feel like that is enough pre-show setup. I really, really hope you enjoy this show. Here's my conversation with Nick. I'm back with a very special guest. Nick is here. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm crushing it, actually. This probably 2 months off I've had so far with like 3.5 weeks ahead of me before I have to go back to school. I'm living my best life.
No, truly you are. Like, you've cracked a mimosa, you are playing Monopoly Deal, like, you're at the lake, like, life couldn't get better for you.
I just want the people to know that as Tori and I started this recording, I was like, okay, wait, let me make a mimosa real quick. And she's like, it's 9:18 in the morning. I'm like, yeah, on the Pacific Coast. And then second, that's when you drink a mimosa. Nobody's like, oh, 8 p.m., time for mimosa.
Yeah, that's actually such a good point. 8 p.m.
is rum bucket hour.
Don't I fucking know it? But no, it just feels weird as I'm eating like oatmeal and drinking my first coffee of the day, and you're like cracking a mimosa. But again, you're right. A mimosa is a morning drink. I don't know. And you're living the lake life. And happy August. It's August 1st.
Yes.
Happy, like, the month of August to those who celebrate.
The salt air is really rusting my door.
Literally, I saw somebody on TikTok. They're like, remember, like, it was July 31st. And they're like, remember to put out your rusty nails and like spilt salt to like summon Taylor Swift tonight. And I like kind of wanted to do that.
Yeah, that fits you.
Yeah, but I was just like, I don't know where I'd find like a rusted nail.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. Like, people need to be throwing those out. We can't have Taylor Swift encouraging like
yeah, like biohazards, like hazards. Yeah, literally. Oh my god. Okay, so today I'm actually so excited. So, because it's just nice, like, when you have a podcast and then like you have traditions, I feel like. So we're gonna talk about folklore. It's the 3rd year anniversary, and Nick and I have recorded every July for the last 3 years, our thoughts and just like, I don't know, musings about our favorite album, or at least my favorite album. And then
was it ranked at the top of your Eras Tour Spotify? I don't think so. It was it was the top of mine, Tori.
Yeah,
Tori's kind of fake.
I'm so fucking fake. I feel like people don't realize that. Like, I'm literally a fake fan. But
oh,
like,
they realize.
No, you're right. Yeah, like, my whole life is just a house of cards. But, like, okay, no, you're right. So, Nick and I did my Spotify top five or whatever. And literally, Reputation came up first. Like, for me, not for Nick.
I was actually kind of devastated that Reputation didn't come up on mine at all.
I know.
My top two were Folklore and Evermore.
Yeah, and I was like, babe, you good? Like, that's concerning, I feel like. That combo.
I share a Spotify account with my sister because I'm nothing if not cheap. And I like screenshotted it and sent it to her. And she responded to like, yeah, Folklore and Evermore are me when I was traveling on the road in my sad girl phase. And I was like, yeah, definitely you, not me bumping Folklore and Evermore as well.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, but like sometimes I'm like, Spotify, like the way that they collect their data is fake. So like, because I'm like, what is the time range? Because if you maybe would have asked me this spring, summer, like maybe I would have said rep, but like, I don't know, you asked me mid-November, like it's defo Folklore.
Yeah, I guess I figured that it was just like all time listens because
yeah,
Lover was on mine. And I feel like that's because I had Spotify when Lover came out and didn't have Spotify when Reputation came out. But Lover would definitely not be on mine in terms of like whole album listens to, maybe like 6 songs, but
mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is
real.
Like a hot take. I feel like Lover has increased its love over the years. It's lore.
It has. And she's like weirdly released Cruel Summer as a single again this year. And then I just saw a tweet and it was like, Lover could be eligible for a Grammy this year because it was re-released. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, Jesus Christ.
It reminds me of that tweet for when she released the 10-minute version of All Too Well, like, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and people were like, this is proof that you can get anything done if you're annoying enough. And I just, that came back to me when she released Cruel Summer, because the fans, like myself, were annoying, and was like, why wasn't this a single? So I think that, like, we can get away car there. We have the power.
Literally re-release Getaway Car, like, seriously.
Oh, where's God, Folklore, so Taylor's version? I know it doesn't need to be Folklore's Taylor version, but like, can we get like the In the Vault tracks from that, or is that just Evermore?
Yeah, okay, that's another thing that I want to know, is like the ones that she has recorded where she owns it, where are those vault tracks? Like, will she release those as well? Or will, is it really just to, like, re-own her music?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter, because in theory, she owns it. So she doesn't need to have vault tracks because she can pick what goes on her album.
Right, on the album, right, the first time, but and not think, have it be, yeah.
There's something to be said for, we are already off. there is something to be said for an album telling a complete story and not losing the plot. And that's why you want to pick albums that have roughly like 11 to 16 songs, because when you have like 17 plus, it kind of is like, this is a snoozer. And then, right. So I think if you're like going for the awards, like Taylor is, there are vault tracks out there. And I'm not going to like,
no, look, that's
the
so
Lakes
true.
Is a bonus track. It's not a vault track.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like you're specifically talking about Dear Reader.
Like, the people who don't have Dear Reader ranked as their least favorite Midnight song, they're just trying to be quirky.
Literally. Okay, also, someone said this to me over the last couple weeks. They're like, I love Dear Reader, like, number one song. I think it was Christy from X Knows All. But, like, fucking whoever it was, show yourself, because like that was fake shit. Like that was pick me energy. Like, like literally. Also, I just love how you're right, like we're just so off the beaten track. Like I write us like a 4-page outline and we're just like, we've touched none of it. Like,
well, okay, like, we need to pull the people in. How many people want to listen to, like, 4 podcasts on this album?
Like, it's all the petty Bettys, because they're just, like, as petty as us. Like,
it's, look, if people are here, they're here for this. So I will not apologize for all the side tangents.
literally. Okay, yeah, you're right. But okay, I wanted to go at Eras Tour.
Now let's transition.
Yes, because I haven't. I literally have been silenced. No, just say, what is that, Oprah?
Were you silenced? Nope.
Were you silent or were you silenced? And
there you
honestly,
go.
Kind of both. We have been on opposite schedules, so we just couldn't sit down to record. So I was kind of silenced, but also I've been purposely silent because I wanted to tell you about my Eras tour as you did for me a few months ago.
Yes, and all I've heard about Tori's Eras tour actually was that she was getting on a ferry. She missed the ferry. Then we played Monopoly Deal. There's an app for it. Patreon. Business deal game. Let's go.
Okay, but actually, though, why should we all do, like, a tournament? Like, a business deal tournament on the Patreon? Oh, my God. Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
That happened. And then the next thing I've heard was that you did, like, a Target haul because you were in the U.S. and then you went back home. So I've heard nothing about the tour itself other than one of the secret songs was Petty as Fuck of Taylor.
Literally so petty. Like, okay, but, like, I just – okay, I want to say – let's talk about the surprise – oh, no, okay, I'll talk about the whole thing, but, like –
no, you tell your whole story.
Okay, I'll tell the whole story, but – I want to say the surprise song, I was laughing to myself and Courtney, who was sitting next to me, turns to me and she's like, why are you laughing? And I was like, I cannot wait to tell Nick about this. Like, it was just so fucking funny. Okay, so again, I am Canadian. I live on Vancouver Island, which in most cases is an absolute dream. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. But I will say this summer, there has been like unprecedented tourism, which has made getting off the island very difficult. And so we couldn't make a reservation for any of the three fucking boat lines that leave this godforsaken island. And so we were doing standby. I was going down with friends of the pod, Courtney and Dana. We met another friend of the pod, Lisa, down there. She literally cut her honeymoon short to go to
Wait, is this Lisa Rance?
No, but I love that you know that. I'm recording with her this afternoon, which I love. Oh, but no,
tell her I say hi.
I will. She's a Bostonian. You guys should like actually hang out. But
oh, I knew that. Side tangent.
Yes. Yes. Side tangent. But no, this is Lisa. I used to be like kind of her boss. Dana was her real boss. And then we became friends when we weren't working together. She did an episode with me about this charity that we used to volunteer for called Free the Children. And it was really fun. And so, like, okay, so we are driving down. We miss a ferry. I'm anxious as fuck. we miss a second ferry that we were supposed to take in Washington. But driving down, I was making friendship bracelets in the back seat. And we listened to all of Taylor's albums, starting with Debut. We only actually got to, I think, Lover. So we didn't even make it through her old discography.
You crushed, like, though.
No, I know. But that was over, like, the 3 days or whatever. But, yeah.
I know you listened to that Debut out of fear that one would be a secret song and you wouldn't know it.
Yes! Yeah. So Dana was going in blind. Like, she didn't know anything about the Eras tour. She avoided all the TikToks and the tweets and stuff like that. And so she was like, okay, you guys, like, how do we want to listen to this? Like, do you want me to just put on, like, This Is Taylor Swift on Spotify? Or, like, should we pick albums or, like, whatever? And I was like, for no reason at all, can we start at Debut?
So, Melody, aforementioned Melody on previous podcast, she also was going into the Eras tour completely blind, and she went the day after that I went, and I totally leaked with the first and last song.
Oh my God.
Like, I was, I'm not even on TikTok, and I knew some of the stuff. And she asked me how it was, and I made a comment, and I was like, spoiler alert. I made a comment, I was like, yeah, Karma as a last song absolutely banged, like, when the confetti was coming out. And she was like, spoiled for me. I was like, sorry, I don't live under a rock. Good for Dana.
Like, me to Dana. Like, yes, literally. Yeah. And this is why we're friends, because I also spoiled stuff for her. But, literally, it's like, how? Like, I just because the way that I consume every piece of media that comes out, it's really hard not to be, spoiled or anything, or, like, share my excitement.
Well, it's also, like, the algorithm does it. It's not even me.
No,
it's
algorithm. They know. They fucking know.
How are you on a different plane of existence where your algorithm doesn't just, like, indoctrinate you with Taylor Swift?
literally. Oh my God, that's so true. But yeah, so we stayed at my aunt's on the Friday night, and then the Saturday we headed into Seattle proper. We just checked into our hotel and got ready. This is another reason I was so anxious. I didn't know what I was going to wear. So basically, when I bought the tickets November 15th, I immediately bought an outfit that I saw on TikTok. It's like, every girly will know it. It's like the black see-through shirt with stars on it that like a million people bought.
Ooh, cardigan inspired.
And So I bought it that, like, literally, like, the day after, so November, and silly me, I decided to try it on, like, the Wednesday before I was going, and I tried it on, and I hated it. I was like, this is, like, disgust, so I just packed, like, literally, like, 8 outfits that were potential, like, basically just things that I thought were, like, Taylor-esque and, like, specific eras-esque. And then I had packed so many outfit options for the concert that I forgot pajama bottoms. Oh, so God. I just slept in my underwear and a t-shirt. And then I forgot regular clothes. So I wore the same shirt and shorts combo for 3 days in a row.
I don't even know what to say to that, Tori. Like, you knew you were going away for weeks. Did you pack, like, the day of leaving? Are you the opposite of the girls who pack, like, and myself and everybody else, actually. I shouldn't specify just girls. The people who pack, like, 40 pairs of underwear because just in case...
Yeah, because they're scared they're gonna shit their pants for the first time on vacation. No, I packed the 40 pairs of underwear, but I guess when I was doing the clothes section of the packing, I literally just packed concert outfits, which I could have worn. Like, some of them were just like sundresses.
You were,
like,
so hyper focused.
Yes, I was, Nick. Like, what am I supposed to say? Like, so yeah, like, that was just, like, really funny because I just, like, wore the same thing for 3 days in a row and then slept in my underwear next to Courtney. And so then, yeah, we went to the hotel, we got ready. I finalized my outfit, which was red era. So I wore this, like, black and white dress with red lipstick and red nail polish and, like, the red heart sunglasses, which, like, I was okay with. I wasn't, like, obsessed with it, but I thought that it was the right thing to do because I was really comfy. Like, I was wearing my Converse and, like...
And you're at a concert standing for 3 hours plus.
100%. I was, like, fucking hobbling home. like, literally hobbling home. And, like, the next day... I had no voice and, like, a calf, like, cramp. Like, it was so crazy. But, yeah, we went and picked up Lisa, and then we went to a bar that was serving Taylor Swift-inspired drinks.
How packed was it?
It was fucking packed. Like, it was, like, the lineup was out the door and, like, around the block. It was called The Good Bar. It was...
Did you hear about it from TikTok?
Yeah, I think so. I think Lisa heard about it through TikTok. Yeah, because it was actually really cool because I think that this is why everyone's saying that Taylor Swift is saving the economy is because the American economy, at least, because around Lumen Field is, like, an area like Chinatown and Pioneer Square and stuff like that. And so many bars were having Taylor Swift, like, Taylor Swift music and cocktails. And then there was, like, pop-up stores with, like, graphic tees that were Taylor-inspired. There was, like, places doing Taylor Swift, like, karaoke and, like, parties, like, after parties, friendship bracelet making, like...
That's cute.
For those local businesses, like, it actually was saving the economy. Like,
look, the American economy needs saving.
Yeah, 100%. So that was really fun. And then we walked to the field, and it was, like, I was really nervous because I've never gone to a concert of this size and... 72,000 people, and again, it was, like, the biggest night of my life, so I was just, like, really anxious, but it was literally, like, totally fine, walking in, finding our seats, and actually leaving was totally fine, too. I think she ended at 11:30. I think we were back at our hotel at midnight. Like, it was...
Oh, nice!
Yeah. Like, it was completely fine getting in and out, and I was, like, so worried about... just like everyone's like, oh my God, it was a nightmare. Like we like took 2 hours to get out of the stadium and like all of that stuff. And it just like wasn't like that.
Did you leave early?
No.
Of course. Tori's like, I actually stood in the stands and waited for another spoiler alert. You're on your own, kid, to finish playing before I even moved.
Literally. But yeah, okay, so the vibes were just immaculate. Like, I know that since you found out like the day before you were going, you didn't like make any friendship bracelets or anything, but I made 50.
Cute.
And I had literally so much fun walking around and trading them with other people. Like, it was just literally so much fun. So I got like 50 back, and it was just so nice talking to people, like, you know, what's your favorite album, your favorite song, like looking at all of the like really creative costumes. And like there was this girl who had an afterglow tattoo.
Oh, good taste.
Yeah, taste. And so like it was just super fun just like hanging out.
I have a few petty questions though.
Yeah, ask me.
One, did you tell anybody about the podcast?
No.
What is this poor marketing? Come on.
I know. Literally, like, I don't know why. But, like, okay, I kind of will tell you something, though. So, a few months ago, I was on TikTok.
Like, where Tori spends like most of her day.
Yeah, like, every other day. And there was just, like, this comment thread that was, like, who's going to the Seattle show? I'm going and I want to start like a Facebook group. So this was like months ago. So I'm like me. So I get added into this Facebook group. There's like, I think like 60 or like 80 of us in the Facebook group. And we just talk about like, we talked a lot about like the logistics about the Seattle show. But then like, you know, every Friday, Saturday, we would talk about the surprise songs and blah, blah, blah. And when you came on the podcast and talked about your Eras Tour experience, I posted the episode link in that group because I was like, okay, like, yes, it's spammy, but also it's like, it is so relevant to this group that maybe they won't mind. Plus, I like contribute in other ways. So I like, you know, thought it was okay. Not a single like or comment. Like, it was actually humiliating.
Like, I feel like you have a history of not getting likes on your stuff, whether it's like a picture of you.
Literally. Literally. Like,
somebody start a literally count for Tori in this episode. Literally.
Literally. Okay, but yeah, so like that was so embarrassing. And then okay, so I want to tell these people about my podcast because I'm like, it's just so relevant, right? And we talked about Taylor like to like a gross amount. And then so I was thinking when I was making these, I was like, should I put like a little tag on each bracelet that says like listen to RTBP, yeah, or like something like that. And and then just I was like, oh my God, but then I just feel like I'm like taking over this like nice moment, so I just didn't.
You couldn't deal with the cringe.
Yeah, basically.
All right, basically. So my second petty question is, did you either get a bracelet from somebody that you was like, not cute, or turn down one bracelet for another because you thought one was cuter?
Duh. Like, literally, there was
and
one.
And what did it look like? Yeah.
Okay, it was like orange and like bright orange, bright green, and like I don't know, a bunch of like highlighter colors with like star beads, and then it said, okay, just wait. I'm actually going to read this out to you, and I want – or, like, this, like, acronym or whatever, and I want you to see if you can guess what it is.
Oh, so wait, you took the bracelet?
Yeah, I took it, but I was...
That's great.
I know, but I was like, like...
You can be petty after the fact. That's okay. You didn't hurt the feelings unless they're a listener of the pod.
Yeah, they're like, fuck you. Yeah. Where it's like they find this podcast and like, because it's going to say like Seattle Eras Tour, and then they're like, oh my God, that's me. Like, also, like, God bless this person if they do listen. But okay, this is the acronym. Can you figure out what it is? Okay. ETFOBTVFTV.
Okay, so the TVFTV is Taylor's version from the vault.
Yes.
Can I have the everything before Taylor's version from the vault? I've narrowed it down now.
Okay, ET.
Extraterrestrial, Katy Perry featuring Kanye West. You're so hypnotizing.
Okay.
ET.
And then FFOB. I'll give you the first F because it's hard. Featuring.
Beach? Oh, okay. FT. So it's fucking Ed Sheeran probably. Okay, wait. Give me the featuring. Give me the featuring.
Featuring, and then it's FOB.
FOB. Future? No. Mm-mm. OB. Fall Out Boy. Oh my God. Is it? Yes. Okay, Fall Out Boy. What is one she did with Fall Out Boy? It's not me. That was the guy.
Yeah.
Fall Out Boy. Oh my God. See, this is. What is that song? Electric Touch.
Yes. Electric Touch. Electric Touch featuring Fall Out Boy, Taylor's version from the vault. I was like, A, I hate that song, and B, this bracelet is fuggo.
But I'm sure you got it, and you were like, oh my God, thank you so much. How did you figure out what it said?
Obviously, the person explained it to me.
Did you ask, or did they say, oh my God, here's Electric Touch?
Yeah, because I was like, oh, just give me like your favorite one, or like one of the ones you like, or whatever. And then they're like, this one, it's ETFFOB.
She definitely said, you said, give me your favorite. And she said, you're a bitch.
Literally, she was like, I actually hate the Red album. So, like, I'm just going to give you this Fuggo bracelet.
That was from Speak Now.
Yeah, speak. Yeah, no, like, because I was wearing red. So maybe she clocked me and she was like, or maybe she was like, fake fan. You definitely
didn't you wear that
this
white dress with hearts on it?
With polka dots.
Okay, yep. I think I thought that was Lover, but that's probably the fake fan in me.
Yeah, literally. Okay, but I did get some really fun friendship bracelets that were so creative, and I'll just read some of them out to you. Like, I love them. Like, I just think about them all the time. I got fucked in the head.
Oh, I like that one.
I got pathological people pleaser.
Oh, you're losing me.
I got fuck Jake.
Gyllenhaal.
I got on some new shit.
Oh, good taste.
Which is so, like, taste. And then I got because she's dead.
Oh, is that one like a black and silvery one or?
No, but I did get a hoax one that was just like straight up silver. They're like, do you want this hoax one? I was like, yeah, I have depression. They were like, okay.
My only one. My smoking
gun.
Oh, and then my one more petty question is, what was the ugliest you made, and why did you give it away to this particular person?
Oh my god, that's so funny. When I started running out of like good colored beads, I made some really like fugly ones. Like I literally like, just because it's really hard once you run out of like good colors.
Yeah, once red is gone.
Yeah, like literally though. I made one. I think this is the ugliest one I made. It was the lucky one. But because that was so many letters, it just doesn't like lay flat. So it doesn't like look good. But someone really like they asked me for it. So.
So you mean like the lucky one, like the like the one from Red?
Yeah.
Is that the one with Gary White, whatever his name is? Or is that with Ed
Sheeran? Yeah, White Body or whatever.
White Light Body.
I think it's Light Body. I don't know.
I think it's Light. Why did you make that one in the first place?
Just because I no had comment. The letters for it. Yeah, no, literally no comment.
Say I'm the lucky one.
Yeah, it's like I literally haven't listened to this song in forever either. So
this okay, song. Okay, Liz.
This song.
Okay, and then I have a practical question for either people who are going to the LA shows or for people who are going to the Europe, Asia, South America, or hopefully North America round two. Yes. Or at least Canada leg. How did you do this? Like, did you put all 50 bracelets on one arm and then when you took it off and put one on like the right arm? Like, how did you manage to keep straight like what bracelets you had got from somebody else versus what were yours?
So some girly pops did that. What I did is I took binder rings stolen from my office at work. And if people don't know what those are, they're just like silver like rings that you can. It's basically like the binder part of the binder clip part of a binder, but without the binder. So I had these silver rings that I put labels on of each era and then inside jokes and like ships and then
so a Gaylor bracelet.
So Gaylor, yeah. Like I did make a Haler and someone was like, okay, I need the Haler one. Like that's so funny. But then I put them on my bag, my clear bag. So I had them on the strap. So then I could easily grab them. And then the ones that I had on my arm were ones that I had got from people. But a lot of people just had them either in like a bag or a like on their wrist. And they would just like give you their wrist. And it was like, which one do you want?
Oh, cute. Okay.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Did you just hear me pop the bottle of champagne?
No.
I just outed myself.
But you fucking did. I would have never known. Also, yeah, we are recording Sans video because Nick is at the lake. So, yeah.
There's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there's straight up no Wi-Fi. So we're just living on a prayer over here. Okay.
Okay. Those are my questions. Back to the show.
Yes. Okay. I love that. So Gracie Abrams was the first opener, she was really good. Haim was the second opener. They were really, really good. They have such good stage presence. And then it was time for Taylor. And, like, just, like, again, the energy and the vibes were just, like, just everyone was as excited as I was. And it was just, it was so cool, like, just to be there. I think, like, because with your episode, we went through, like, basically song by song. Mm-hmm. I just want to tell you, like, some highlights. There was, like, songs that, like, fucking banged that, like, I guess you would, like, expect, like,
yeah,
Bad Blood. Like, I don't even like that song, but it was actually so fun.
Yeah. I agree. When I went in, there was some sort of like, okay, these are definitely not ones I'm like queuing up when I'm sitting on the beach listening to Taylor Swift. That hit so hard.
So fucking hard. Like just the outfit and the energy and the dance, and the like the choreography. Yeah. Was unreal. Right,
that's when they had like the fire shooting under the things.
Yes, yes, like around the stage. Yeah, there was a lot of like pyrotechnic stuff that I like didn't expect. I could, like, literally, I was so close. I could, like, feel the heat of them.
I could, too, when it was needed on my downpour rain night.
I know, where in my case, I was just, like, sweating the whole time because it was just, like, so hot that day. So I was like, oh, I really don't need this. Like, also, the speaking of, like, rap, like, the fucking Don't Blame Me.
Yes! Don't Blame Me, like, hit so hard.
Like, the, like, interlude or, like, whatever, like, like, the shortened version or, like, whatever the arrangement was so fucking good.
Yeah, the, like, I don't even know, like, the core, not the chorus of the song, but, like, the chorus sound of, like, the people behind it being like, don't blame me, love.
Don't,
like,
yes!
Oh, my God. Yes. I was dancing.
Oh, my God. Me, too. Yeah, like, the, like, don't blame me, don't blame me. Like, it was so fucking
love
good.
Made me crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, all the rest of my life.
Cruel Summer, like, you have no idea, like, because that's the first, like, bridge of the show, and she's like, Seattle, are you ready for the first bridge of the night? And then, like, I'm drunk, and, like, and just people went fucking ham.
I would imagine that would go even more ham, like, the weekend that you went, or this last weekend in Santa Clara, like, now that that song is, like, a single being properly respected and is being bumped on rare.
Yeah.
And like, the depth of summer.
That's exactly, like, because it's, like, peak summer and stuff like that. Like, it just went so hard. And because she pauses before the bridge, like, everyone just had, like, their hand up in the air and was just, like, going so fucking hard. Like, it was, like, something I'll never forget. And then, like, obviously, All Too Well, 10-minute version, Taylor's version, is, like,
yeah.
Again, people were just, like, singing, like, hands, like, I don't know, in, like, the, not a prayer position, but, like, in fists, like, in front of their chest, just, like, singing, like, their lives depended on it. And, like, I just, like, get that. Like,
hello. How loud was the stadium when she said, fuck the patriarchy?
So loud. Like, it was, like,
all those people who went to see Barbie, like, the night before were like, yeah. Also, side tangent, the new Barbie was pretty good.
It was good. It was so much fun. Yeah, I went on the Monday after the concert, and I was just like, I just love being a girl.
Oh, that's right, because we played Monopoly Deal when you were in line for Barbie. Yeah.
You're, like, exposing me on this episode.
And I crushed Tori. I crushed her. Like, it wasn't even close.
I know. I've yet to win a game against you on Business Deal.
And Tori forgot.
So embarrassing.
Tori forgot to mute her mic, so I'm, like, hearing her be like, oh, okay, popcorn, yeah, can we do that one? And then she was like, okay, let's all take a picture in the Barbie song.
I, like, forget that because it's,
and
I
then at one point, Tori was like, it looks like a vagina. What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, so, like, for those of you who don't play Business Deal, which you should download in the App Store right now, it's, yeah, Monopoly Deal. But if you play with people, which I think this is advanced, it's like a phone call. Like, it's, yeah, so it just, like, is automatically unmuted, and I, like, forgot because it was, like, the second time I played. And so I was in line for Barbie, and I was on, like, off mute. I went with this women's group called Camp Hoo-Ha, and we made the news. I talk about this on episode, I think, 148. And their logo is like a camp, like, it's like a tent on, like, water in the forest, but the tent literally just looks like a vulva. It's so funny. I'll post pictures for reference. Like,
But yeah, All Too Well 10-minute version. It did. It was perfect. And because I think she like leaves. That's like her last, I think, last song of like Red, if I'm not wrong. And she
Yes, you're
has
right.
like the different, like the changing of the seasons on the stage, kind of like the stage at that point is basically her background because she stands kind of in the middle of the stage and she walks off to the outro. It's so good.
It's
So good.
so fucking good. And then the next is Folklore, which is also good. But yeah, it's the changing of the season. So there's like the fall trees, and then there's, I think that this is when
Snow.
the snow, yeah,
Yeah.
confetti came out down. It was just, which I saved a few pieces.
Know, I didn't read into the fact that it went from snow to spring at the end because Folklore, she says, is her spring summer album. Damn, big
Smart.
brain.
Fucking big brain energy. That's so fucking true. Okay. Okay, set design. Whatever. Like, and then just the entire fucking midnight section slayed.
Yeah, the midnight section was like Sunday night energy where you knew it was almost over, but you just couldn't help be so
True.
happy during every one of those songs. And the song Vigilante Shit on Midnights is not my favorite song. Like, I don't think there's a lot of like re-listenability to that song, but her
Yeah.
performance of it is a performance.
Oh my God. I was
Like,
like, okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I felt like I was at like a musical theater and they were performing, but it was legit.
Yeah. Like, it was like Chicago vibes. Okay, so a few things. At that point with that dance, I was just screaming, like, not the lyrics. Like, I was just like, I wasn't screaming the words. I was just full on screaming. And then also, back in college, I took a chair dancing class, and
Course.
it was like, of course, and it was so much fun. And this was just like, I'm doing that again. And if my old chair dancing troupe like has not done a dance to this, it is like, that is a crime. Like, it was just so, it was
Nobody,
so
no crime.
fun. Yeah, it was a nobody, no crime. Everything, like Midnight Rain with
Midnight
the
Rain.
yes, with the umbrellas, and then Bejeweled and Mastermind, and then Karma. Like, it was just so, the dancing, the costumes, like
The
everything was just
energy.
so good. The energy. And then speaking of Nobody, No Crime, that was a lot of people's favorite performance because we didn't know it was coming. It was Haim's first night on tour.
I mean, anybody with a
And
brain knew it was coming.
okay, you're right. Everyone with a brain knew it was coming. Every single person was talking about it, and we all knew. But
Look.
but we didn't know like when and where. So at the beginning of the Evermore section, they just pop out of the stage, and it was like they're, you can just tell that they're best friends. They're having like the best time ever, and it's a song that you don't think would be good in an arena, but it was.
I would think it would hit. Any song about somebody murdering somebody else for like cheating reasons, and then, well, I mean, I guess he murdered her first, but you know what I mean. Like, any song about murder, it slaps.
No, you're right. You're right.
Unless
It
it's
was
like one
like
of those rappers who like may have questionably murdered somebody. Like Drake has that song about XXXTentacion or whatever, where he's like
Oh,
shot him in the head, and it's
yeah.
like, wait, that's questionable because he's actually dead. But most songs about murder hit. Perry Underwood has made half a career on murdering fake men.
Literally a Miranda Lambert, like, literally. No, you're so right. You're so right. Okay, the last song I want to mention.
Sorry, I just remembered. This is, again, a side tangent. Miranda Lambert used to be married to Blake Shelton. And I was going to say, Miranda Lambert marrying him, somewhat questionable. And as I was thinking through that thought process, as you were speaking, I remembered Blake Shelton got Sexiest Man of the Year a few years ago. What crack were people on?
No, that was straight Why up did that happen?
Yeah, right, like, Nick. It was, like, country music right now has the top three songs in America, and I swear that is, like, they are feeding the machine by saying, like, yeah, Blake Shelton is sexy. Like, The Voice must have been, like, on some new shit. Like,
No. The Voice 100% paid off people because I think the year before was John Legend.
But at least there's a better case for John Legend than Blake Shelton. Yeah. Blake Shelton must have been, like, the dad body era.
Blake Shelton is no shame to Blake Shelton.
It's just like sexiest man in the world, and you're gonna go Blake Shelton? I can find a Blake Shelton in like three different bars in Portland, Maine.
Like, literally, though, he's literally every man. No, but we were like, for some reason, just like,
whoa, that was maybe you. Maybe you. Yeah. I will not be roped into any tomfoolery. We're not there.
Oh my god. No, we just like. No,
we. She says we again. She says we again.
Okay, we minus Nicholas John Drinkwater. I feel like just had this collective like. Like, maybe their aliens are real because our brains were wiped that summer and we just, like, drank the Kool-Aid and then moved on. But Nick has not moved on.
Well, I just remembered it when you were talking about Miranda Lambert. That was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I guess Gwen Stefani likes him. I mean, does he even still make music?
I don't know. But, like, literally the fact that Gwen Stefani married that man is disgust. Like, it actually, like, it was such a loss.
I mean, happy for Gwen, but I ain't no Hollaback girl.
Okay, the last song I want to mention before we move on to surprise songs are Shake It Off, because which arguably is her worst song.
Like, no, it is not her worst song. It's not even her worst single, if we're being completely honest. It's just, well, like,
what is then?
You're not gonna tell me Me is better than Shake It Off. I will not stand here. Epiphany. I could pick, like, one. Dear Reader.
okay, fine. Okay.
But.
Yeah.
Shake It Off might be her most overplayed song because the children love it, and there's something about children finding joy from that song that makes it less likable.
Oh my god, that's so true. Like, the little girls behind me went hard to this song, and I was like, you guys are fake fans.
And it's in that the cartoon movie Sing, the first one. The pig, the two pigs sing Shake It Off, and the pig who sings it is like the mother character. She has like all these little piglets in the movie, and mm-hmm. she's like in like a black like leotard singing Shake It Off, and she's like taking stuff out of the like washer or dryer. It's catered towards the children.
Okay, although, like, yeah, that
I will slightly plug the movie Sing One because it does kind of hit.
Okay, because I was like, I've never seen this. Or cared about it, or like anything.
It was just a memory that I'm living with. But no, it is a children's song. Did it go number one? Because honestly, it should have went number one. It was everywhere when it came out.
I'm sure it did. There's no way it didn't.
And Shake It Off is a classic pop song. It's when she's going to pop music. But yeah, is it one that I'm listening to for fun? Absolutely not.
Like, no, like, like, I'm actively avoiding it, basically, like, but, yes, okay, so, during this song, we caused a 2.3 magnitude earthquake.
I hope nobody got hurt.
No.
Can you imagine if all these reports were like, Taylor Swift is saving the U.S. economy. Taylor Swift causes earthquake that kills two people. What could you imagine?
Okay. No, you have no idea. So I was at work after the concert and someone was like, oh, I saw in the news that you guys caused a 2.3 magnitude earthquake. And we are, Victoria is on the same fault line as Seattle and like California and blah, blah, blah. And like, we're just waiting for like what we call the great one, which will just like dummy the whole island, like and just like cause a tsunami and we all just like die. So we were just like LOLing at work if this was like the one that caused like the tsunami. The great one. Yeah.
I love that you say that through the laughs, if it's, as if it's not, like, a very real possibility.
No. No, literally, I was telling, again, the people at work, I was like, you guys, similar to the aliens and, like, space and stuff like that, like, I actually just can't think about it. Like, it holds 0% space in my brain, because if I think about it, I will just no longer continue living here.
Tori's like, I have extreme anxiety over possibly missing the ferry. When in reality, catching that ferry is the thing that is going to save you. Actually, I mean, the tsunami, like, that ferry's getting fucked. You should learn how to surf.
No, like, I used to live in like a tsunami
Kamloops.
Like an area in Victoria in Victoria I used to live on a high enough altitude that like people would, if there was a tsunami warning, would come to where I lived. This
is it like that mountain that we hiked?
No, but similar. It's actually just the UVic campus.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, better. I was going to say, Tori, we should have practiced hiking that mountain that day for you.
Yeah, like, honestly, though. Like, honestly. I need that. And then I moved to a place that is actually, like, at 0 meters to sea level. Like,
yeah, the ocean really is, like, coming, like, right up to near where Tori lives.
Yeah, that's why you're like, oh, we should practice these strategies. It's like, no, there's no strategy needed. Like, I'm fucked.
Tori's like, my strategies, I'm just going to blast, like, Taylor Swift hoax on repeat and wait for death to take me.
Literally. Oh, my God. Okay.
Take me to the lakes where all the people in Victoria go to die. Sorry, Kristen.
Okay, sorry. My okay, let's talk about the surprise song. So the guitar the guitar one was This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. What do you think of that? It's fun. I feel like that's okay, so fun. It's fun.
I felt the same way, but when I got questioned, like, it was just fun. Like those are just like fun-ish songs. I was kind of jealous when I saw that you got This Is Why I Can't Have Nice Things. Because, like, yeah, okay, is it one of my top 10 drafted songs that I want as my surprise secret song? Not necessarily. Yeah. But if I'm at the show and that comes on, I'm having an absolute fucking blast. And you know what? This is a song that I can personally claim now. Like, this is part. This is my song. Like, okay, yeah, you got State of Grace at yours, but guess what? That was already my song, so fucking have it. You got Tim McGraw, that's my song too. Have it. This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. Like, no, that's mine. Back off. Not yours.
That's true, because no one claims that.
Yeah, nobody claims it. I was kind of jealous. I think that would be fun acoustic.
I was happy with that. So she did it acoustic, and you know how there's the laugh at the like latter end?
And she's like, ha, I can't even say it with a straight face.
Exactly. So she does the laugh, like the fake laugh, but then it causes her to real laugh. So then she real laughs for like 30 seconds. And I was like, that moment right there made it like all worth it, because no one will ever have that experience but us.
Yes, you're claiming it. That's how I felt. Literally, that's how I felt when she did question and she stopped halfway through and she was like, I messed it. this up because she was in a fucking downpour and couldn't do anything to strum her guitar. And when the question
Literally.
comes on now, I'm like jamming even more because I feel some ownership over it. And like the night after we went, the piano like messed up, so she was like, okay, the piano's haunted, I can't play it. And everybody cheered because they thought she was gonna play Haunted.
Yeah, she's like, this is the interlude.
I understand exactly what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, so it was
But
good. I liked
then
that. But then the tides shifted.
the
Not because of
tsunami
the earthquake. Yeah. So she goes, okay, so this is a song that I play. Like, she does this for like 10 minutes. She's like, this is a song that like I sing with another person, but the person isn't here. And then she's like, I'm not joking, you guys. Like, the person actually isn't here. Like, it's just me. And she does that for like 10 minutes. And we're like, okay, so the person's here.
Yeah,
Like, obviously.
right.
Yeah. So we're like,
And
obviously,
you
the
were like,
person's here.
fingers crossed, not Ed Sheeran, not Brandon Urie. Not Ed Sheeran, not Brandon Urie. Not Ed Sheeran, not Brandon Urie.
Literally, I was like, oh my God, you guys, it's Exile, like Bonnie
Yes!
Tyler is
Oh my
here,
God! No, because
like
if he
Aaron
showed up,
Dessner.
straight up, if Bon Iver had showed up, or Justin, whatever his name is, my
Yeah.
cork just broke.
Okay, well, I have to finish the bottle now.
No, like it broke in the bottle. It woke him up. Anyway, sorry. It's can you hear this whistling?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because there's like air coming out of the prosecco. If sorry, if Bon Iver was there, you would have got both Exile and Ever. Or more. I mean, you would have been like really depressed at that point, but that would have been awesome.
No, it would have been awesome. So I was just like racking my brains, and then I was even thinking like, is it like a Hayley Williams? Like,
Oh,
is
that
it
would have been cool.
Maren Morris?
Oh, I
Is
love.
it?
Oh, I just put. Oh, it the cork fell on the bottle of Prosecco.
Is
Sorry. 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 Sorry.
Ezda like, are you drunk? Like,
No, it was just it wasn't like a new cork. I was just using it to like keep it shut and it needs to be used. And I made fresh orange juice today, so.
oh,
Great.
that's what it is. Okay, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It just needs to be used. All right, continue. Sorry. Sorry, fans.
You're good. They expect this. Yeah, like it's like this is the moment that they're like, oh no, this is too much. Like, stop.
You when she started playing that Ed Sheeran song.
Like, literally. So like my brain is going a million miles a minute, and then she starts playing Everything Has Changed, and I literally like I was laughing because I was like, just my luck. But then like Ed Sheeran didn't pop out, so I was like, this is kind of the worst. Like that's like kind of the worst of both worlds. And then literally it's so funny because I knew all the words until she started singing Ed Sheeran's verse, and I realized it's because every time I listen to that song, like it comes up on my shuffle or whatever, I switch it before it gets to Ed Sheeran's verse.
Yeah, I don't think I would know Ed Sheeran's verse in that song. I do know his verse in Endgame because that song, I mean, like when you listen to Reputation and it's you're in the mood for Reputation, it does hit. But
Yeah.
no, I could not tell you his Everything has changed. All
Oh,
I know is I
no.
slam the door. You'll be mine and I'll be
And
yours.
I'll be yours.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, you got the Ed Sheeran song without Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, so like, was it fun? Sure, but like, did I really want either of these songs? No, but I was LOLing because, okay, also, if people don't know the folklore, the lore of this podcast, it's that Nick and I, at one point, I feel like we rank, well, A, we hate every Ed Sheeran song that he does with Taylor Swift, but then B, I'm pretty sure when we did an episode where we did Fuck, Marry, Kill,
We did.
we did fuck Mary Kill, Ed Sheeran, and Taylor Swift collabs, and it was just like Like, it was, again, it was just, like, the worst of both worlds. Like, we hate all of those songs.
I saw that, and I did laugh. I felt a little bad, but, like, at least we have this, like, humor in the misery of Ed Sheeran. Like, you could enjoy it more than you would have without that.
Yes, 100%. Totally. Like, it was just funny that it happened.
Because I genuinely say to the person who gets Epiphany as their surprise song, I am so sorry. Like, I know there's people out there who like a lot of Taylor Swift's songs that aren't fan faves. I have never met somebody who's an Epiphany fan. Not one.
No.
Could you imagine like, being in a concert truly. And singing a song that the first or the second verse is about COVID? Oh my god, this is hitting so hard. Someone.
Like,
mother. Touch through plastic.
Holds your hand. Yeah, right, dog, like, I think she's crashing out.
I just hope that Taylor does not do that when a concert. That is such an unfair, because it's like a sad song, but it's not even like Marjorie or like Dear John, or even if we're going to go back as far as debut, like Cold as You. Like, those sad songs hit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so true. No, this is, and like, remember, this is like a war song too. Like, keep your helmet. Yeah, like, it's so bad. Sir, I think I'll he's storm the beaches out. Though. Like, it's, people fucking hate us right now.
No, here's my attitude on Epiphany, and I was going to wait for the folklore part of our show, but we're like an hour in. Are we going to get there that much? Maybe not. Folklore sounds like Dory from Finding Nemo singing.
Just wait, what?
Right, like, you know when Dory's speaking whale and she's like, oh, Mr. Humper. That is what Taylor Swift sounds like in Epiphany. She sounds like she's singing in Ellen DeGeneres' whale-speaking voice. And I mean that as an insult. I'm sorry.
I just snorted.
You asked Taylor Swift to go back now in 2023 and include that song in her album, and she says, absolutely not. She did it because she was in the moment of COVID, mm-hmm. and she had already decided she was going to release Evermore, and she wanted the same track number about her grandma to line up with her grandpa, and I'm sorry, but grandpa lost. Like, at least Marjorie hits. Marjorie is on the proper. It is there every show. You don't go to a show without hearing Marjorie. Nobody is hearing Epiphany. People are actually rooting against her grandpa. Like, I'm just speaking facts. Like, it is what it is. Facts. We appreciate your grandpa's service. And them's it.
I'm actually fucking dead.
Grandpa didn't even get a whole song, actually. He got a verse.
Oh my god.
Grandma got a whole song and like her like vocals / lyrics, I think, like kind of present in the song, if I'm not wrong. Her name actually mentioned.
Yeah, I know. I don't know this fucking guy's name, this chap's name. No, but we also have to remember that Marjorie was a singer. Also, and this is so funny. So I'm on Genius, like the lyric website on Epiphany, and it says you might also like Hoax by Taylor Swift.
You might be impressed.
And then, like,
is Peace also recommended?
Like, it should be like, if you've ever considered suicide, please call, like, help is possible. Like,
if you're really in your feels before bed and you just want the tears to come.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Actually, I actually disagree with that statement I just said. If I wanted the tears to come before bed, I'm not listening to Epiphany. Like, it's not even sad. Like, I mean, I'm sure, like, lyrically, it is sad. But I can't get by the Dory voice.
What are you listening to if you want to cry? I know what I'm listening to.
And do I have to pick from Folklore?
No.
Ooh. I mean, I Hoax is up there regardless. I was hoping you were going to say yes because I was ready.
Oh, yeah. Also, you could. Yeah. Hoax. Yeah.
A Hoax. And then My Tears Ricochet. But My Tears Ricochet also sometimes jams. So it's kind of like a fine line. Soon You'll Get Better. I haven't listened to that one since like the first listen through of Lover because why am I trying to cry?
Literally, that is. It's nice to have a friend and.
No.
Get better. It's nice to have like, a friend. Skip.
It's nice to have a friend pisses me off. Nice to have a friend also worse than Shake It Off. It's nice to have a friend.
Have a friend. Yeah.
Midnight's bigger than the whole sky.
Yeah.
But then if I don't want to cry, I'm putting on like Paris Glitch or High Infidelity right after.
Immediately after, just to change the vibe.
I feel like All Too Well at some point in time was like a cry song, but like it has changed in meaning. And now it's not a cry song.
Agreed. It's more like of an anger song. Okay, I want to say, Nick, that during Folklore, during the set, it's The One, Betty, The Last Great American Dynasty, August, Illicit Affairs, My Tears Ricochet, Cardigan. Mm-hmm. I was sobbing so hard during this set that when we walked out of the stadium and like the lights were on, my mascara was all over my face. And like it was like because I was wiping my tears. But the switch between Cardigan to 1989 style is so jarring. Like, it's so dry. Like, I was sobbing, then all of a sudden I was like, we never go out of style. And she's, like, doing the, like, Carly Kloss handhold walk down the stage.
We could not make it through a whole pod without Carly Kloss. We couldn't do it.
I had to mention that. I was like, don't mention it. Don't mention it. You're an hour in. The fucking Victoria's Secret runway handhold with Carly Kloss during style. She does it again to a black and white checkerboard, like, like stage. Like...
Style is such a you would say it's about Carly Kloss. I recently found out that song is allegedly about Harry Styles, and I feel like I totally fucking missed the like Harry Styles to style connection. I felt like a goof.
Kidding me, Nick?
I felt like a goof. Like I just felt,
are you
like,
fucking
like,
kidding me, Nick?
Yeah, I did not know. I did not get it. I was like out to lunch. Like, did not know. Oh. Because what's the other song on that album that's about Harry Styles? Allegedly.
Well, technically none. It's Out of the Woods, but, like, technically...
I knew that one. That was the one that I knew was about him. I didn't know there was two. Okay. I didn't know he got, like, the Taylor Lautner treatment.
Okay, like, if you are a normie, yeah, you think Style and Out of the Woods are about Harry Styles.
And if you're a conspiracist, I just had a list.
But if you are conspiratorial, you think that...
Conspiratorial.
You think that at least Out of the Woods is about Diana Agron.
Who?
Diana Agron.
Do we have the time to explain who that is?
Okay, just like a 1 second, 1 sentence synopsis is she is Quinn on Glee.
I thought you were going to say Quinn on Zoe 101. I don't know Glee.
She just got married to Chase on Zoe 102.
No,
and,
did she really? Stop, no, yeah. Deadass. Did she really? Are you?
No. Like Zoe 102, the character Quinn gets married to not Chase. Oh my God, not Chase.
I thought
Logan. Oh my god, no. And I meant Logan, not Jace, Logan. Logan and Quinn get married in Zoe 102. Okay, no, Diana Agron is cast member of Glee, and allegedly she dated Taylor Swift during the time where she dated Harry Styles. I'm not
sure. So Harry Styles was like,
it was like a beard.
Her publicity boyfriend.
Absolutely, going into like her pop career. But if you want to learn more about Swiftgron,
I don't.
Which is their port? What?
if the listeners of the pod do, though, they can go where?
Yes, they should go to What I Will Say. Cam wrote the master post on Swiftgron, and it's a fun read.
Did she write it on Tumblr?
Yes.
I have heard of What I Will Say before. I've heard very good things, so no shade. But if you want to continue your Agron, no, your Tegron, you can head over there.
Yes. But I can't believe you didn't know that when it's like slicked back hair, white t-shirt.
I heard James Dean Daydream, look in your eyes.
That, I know, that gives Harry Styles.
Yes.
Okay.
Either way, I learned this within the last like 2.5 weeks. So
that's so embarrassing. But okay. Like, that's actually so embarrassing. Okay, but like, okay.
My first full Taylor Swift era that I like began with lines up with my start of playing orgs. And that's Reputation.
Oh.
I listened to, obviously, all of her other stuff previously, but I don't think I ever did, like, a front-to-back, like, first track to last track, like, straight through, listen through of the album. But I remember in November of 2017, it was probably, like, a few days before Reputation had come out. Look What You Made Me Do was already a single, I believe, at this point in time. Somebody on the game that I had played had found like the leaked track list of Taylor Swift. And now in 2017, like leaked, that not leaked, ew, real shit. And I sat on a call with people and listened to the entire album, like front to back. And at that point in time, my favorite song on that album was I Did Something Bad. Why does it feel so good?
Oh,
and I
my
named
God.
My Survivor Alliance. Of me, Jen, two people that I still speak to, I Did Something Bad.
I'm obsessed with that. Also, like, okay, Social Game. Yeah. The last thing I want to say about the Eras Tour is we got Long Live. Did you get it at this point?
No, because she hadn't what was the song that she cut for Long Live?
I don't think she cut anything. I think she just added it.
She just added it? I thought she cut something. So I was at the show where we got the one, and she had cut, I think, Invisible String for it.
Yes. Yes, and she's continued that. Did she do the
yes,
note
as
change
she should.
In the one?
Yes, she did.
Okay, good. Yeah, Long Live also hit. There was a really cute group of, like, teenage people, like, friends, teenagers, in front of us, and they were all like holding like they had their arms wrapped around each other during this song, and they were like swaying back and forth. It was very cute.
Tori, can you imagine being a teenager going to the Eras Tour? Because you know there's no hell they bought those tickets themselves. Your parents were the one like fighting it out on Ticketmaster.
I know. Must be fucking nice.
Yeah.
To be a fucking right. kid in this fucking Eras Tour era, like, jelly.
Tori's like, yeah, I want to rewrite some history, so send me back to 16.
Okay, yeah, like, do I want to rewrite history at 16? Yes.
What was his name? Chase Matthews or something?
Edwards.
Oh, Chase Edwards.
The way that I don't even cut that out anymore. Yeah, I know. the way that I don't even cut this out anymore, because I'm like, if anyone from my high school is an hour into this podcast, like, you deserve to know the tea. Like,
because we're talking about him now, I have a question for you that is not Taylor Swift related at all.
Oh,
are you
great.
Caught up on the hockey book talk drama that is
yes.
present? Okay, can you explain all of it to me? Because I only saw the two Instagram stories of the wife and the husband, who's the hockey player.
Yeah, so I only know the gist of it too. So, like, this isn't, I feel like, the full story. But basically, on Book Talk, which is obviously TikTok for books, romance novels are, like, again, single-handedly bringing back reading and, like, have infused life into, like, a dying, like, I feel like reading and, like, books was, like, out.
I hate that so much. Reading, this thing has been around since people knew how to write. Since writing was a thing. Was dying. People no longer learned how to read. People said, book, embarrassing. I read is my ex feed. Yeah. That's I also hate it. So for to get you up, I started this book club somehow at the campground this summer.
Oh,
and
cute.
I was like, I post, well, I don't want to take credit for the one starting it. I was merely the one who posted because I have the most social capital.
You fucking do. You are a king at that campground. Yeah. So, I'm like, no wonder you like it so posted much.
And everybody else commented on the little Facebook group of like, who's joining it? And I was like, there's literally not a single fucking guy in this book club. Finally, last weekend, I talked to somebody and I was like, oh, Andy, thank God. Okay, somebody else is here. And I was talking to other my side tangent to the side tangent. My dad now works at a library, so he gets, like, all of these books that they're, like, essentially going to throw away because he doesn't think books should be thrown away, so he just takes them. Like, they say, like, we're going to throw these books away if nobody wants them, and he just takes them all. And he started bringing them to the campground. He started bringing them to the campground for, like, my, like, little library type thing.
That's so cute.
And he was trying to get, like, a group of people to, like, be like, take one of these books. If you take one of these books and you read the whole thing and you have, like, a 5-minute conversation with me, I will buy you something. Basically, like, asking people to read books. But I don't qualify for this program. Already a, quote, reader. And all the people who aren't readers are fucking guys. And I'm like, they don't read. I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, you can't play on the fact that you don't read. You haven't read a book since high school? Embarrassing. Like, come on, people. Wake up.
Okay, Nick, why are you getting mad at me for saying that reading was dying and you just, like, told a story about how
romance.
Someone is... Except for the
because
romance
shouldn't
genre,
be.
But, like... No, obviously it shouldn't be, but Nick, you literally just told me a story about how someone had to pay for someone to read a book. Like, it's dying.
I know. Not
like,
to count my
just
students
my
who don't
point.
Read.
Yeah, but like, no, like, literally.
Oh, I'm so sorry, the book talk drama, the reason we were here.
Yeah.
The book talk drama.
The reason we're here is hockey romance novels in particular are popping off. And basically going viral, there's like a bunch of different, I literally can't even, the titles are so embarrassing that I literally cannot say them out loud, but like
slap
basically,
shot. Big D. Wrist shot. Penalty shot.
What?
Goaltender.
No.
I hit at least one of those.
Yeah, I'm sure you fucking did. But like, okay, so there's, yeah, a bunch of books. They're going viral. And, a lot of, like, people are going to hockey games and, like, they're like, oh, my God, pretending I'm in this book or a lot of like the social media for different hockey teams like brought the book in and then had like players read certain sections and like recorded their faces. Like, you know, when hockey
so players... I have seen the hockey teams like do like, I don't want to call it book talk, but like that type of stuff. And the player in question here does play for Seattle Kraken. And yes, from my hockey based knowledge, the Seattle Kraken are like the newest team in the NHL. So they're trying to build a fan base at the same time as this. I think they're 2 years in. They made the playoffs this year and they advanced a round, which is like a big deal. And the fact that they're the fucking Kraken, like their logo is very legit. I'm actually literally wearing Seattle Kraken shorts right now that I bought like when their team first became announced because their logo is so good.
Is it an octopus?
I'll send a picture. Yeah, so it's, well, it's a Kraken.
Oh, right. Okay, whatever.
But yes.
Also, know what they should be doing? If they want to build a fan base on Book Talk, fuck the Hockey Bugs, go to the Kraken romance novels.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Is it about like real Kraken players? Or is it just... Oh, it must be because that guy.
So like usually wait, it's like
published?
Yeah. Yeah, I've literally read one.
Damn, good for the Kraken. They know how to work it.
No, just wait. I'm just...
Anyway, but I...
No, Nick. No, Nick.
I had heard
no,
Nick, the Kraken
no,
were...
No. No, 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 no. I'm talking about the actual animal Kraken.
So like octopus. Not...
Yeah.
I do think technically Kraken is a giant squid.
I actually want to kill myself right now, but like... I'm not joking. I'm not joking. There are romance novels about like humanoid Kraken. I can't talk about this.
Have you read them?
I read one. I'll just let's DM about this, please. Like I just can't. I can't talk about this.
Okay, so what I heard about this story was that the because my intro to this whole story was that the Kraken hockey team was sending video clips of their players to apparently Book Talk in order to generate fans for the Kraken. And prior to the fact that I learned that this was like no bueno, I was like, actually, that's not a bad marketing strategy in trying to recruit new fans to hockey, which is like becoming America's kind of like fourth sport.
Yeah.
And it needs like the, I'm not going to get into sports here because nobody in this podcast cares about it, but like players in hockey are paid less than other sports. So they need more fans in order to like pay their players more. So I was like, that's actually not a bad strategy. But then I heard it went south very quickly.
It went south very quickly. Basically there's a Book Talk creator that was like sexually harassing one of the Kraken players, and him and his wife made, like, I think told the person to stop privately, but then they didn't. And then, so then they publicly said to stop. But yeah, I feel like, yeah, it was like, it's very much like sexualizing something that isn't sexual, like them stretching before a game and stuff like that. And, you know, like doing the splits and like, you know, when they're like splits on their knees and stuff like that. Like, and yeah, it just like got out of hand. So it just, it really like, yeah, it was, that's all I have to say. Like this like 10 minute conversation. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Back to whatever we were before.
Let's talk about folklore. Talk about folklore.
So I have something to say. And this was my major takeaway. I feel like I have a lot of takeaways from folklore, but last night when I was re-listening to this album, because I'm nothing if not prepared.
Yeah, really, truly.
in this part of my life, nothing if not better.
Yeah.
When I listened to the album, I was like, you know what it is about this album that makes it hold up so well, and that makes like people who aren't like Taylor Swift fans really like this album? Every single bridge on, well, okay, every bridge on every one of those songs, except Epiphany, is really good. It's so good. Like, even songs that I'm not particularly fans of, like Seven or Hoax or Mad Woman, like, those bridges are so good that you stick around for the song. Once you get to your bridge, you're like, yes! Yes! And I think
that's actually so true.
People talk about, like, this being, like, Taylor Swift's, like, best songwriting album, and I think a lot of that is because all of those bridges are so good. There's not a single bridge in there, for the most part, that is not great.
No, that's so true. That's a good point. And, like, obviously, I think why it's so popular with Gen Pop is just because of the style of music is so different than what we heard from Taylor in the past. But you're right. Like, the songs are just good. And you're right. Like, the all of the bridges or choruses or, like, whatever slap.
And I think the other thing about the album is, like, at the time, I don't even remember what we talked about in our first podcast, other than cheese, was that, like, the album, it I forget what I'm gonna say. Thank you, Moshi. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. The album, so the album originally was like, this is my, like, personal work. Like, I'm writing about these fictional characters. And I think that's present on so much of the album. Like, obviously, like, I think you can attribute, like, the one to part of the Cardigan story, Rodeo story. Obviously, Cardigan is Rebecca rolled up on the afternoon train. Like, that's obviously not about Taylor Swift. But I do think there's songs on the album that are pretty personal. Like, I think, like, Peace is personal. I think that Mad Woman is personal. I think My Tears Ricochet is personal. Like, I think that there are personal songs in that album about other people or fictional characters. I just think most of the album from stories she's created in her mind.
Her songs were so literal before. And sometimes I feel like the general population also was like, I can't relate to these because they're so specific. And I think, yeah, the use of characters and, like, different imagery brings in, like, a new subset of listeners. Because I feel like most music is more like this than, like, so literal in someone's life. And she says that at the Eras Tour.
I agree so much. Yeah, I think that she is very aware.
But I want to say, because you said, I don't remember what we talked about in our first episode, and I do because I wrote it down. It's funny, we thought that this was going to be an isolated era at the time, and little did we know Evermore was going to come around the corner.
Evermore and Folklore are so interesting because Evermore obviously came out less than 6 months later. I remember the day that Evermore got dropped, and I was like, oh, she's done it again.
Literally. I also wrote down that we thought that this felt really adult Taylor. And we wrote that, or we said that there was a change in the public's view of Taylor as a songwriter and performer. And so we just, like, had some really bad takes. I didn't even like the album, and now it's my favorite album. So we were on something.
We were on some new shit.
On something stronger than the drinks at the bar.
I'm hearing a lot of we, and I don't like being roped in with a lot of the we.
Okay.
A lot of projecting happening over there on Vancouver Island.
Literally. Okay, yeah, you're right. You liked it. I was a hard ass. And I just was like, again, people have heard me say this a million times. In the summer, I want Cruel Summer. I want Death by a Thousand Cuts. I even want Shake It Off. I don't want to be depressed. If she released this in November, my life would have been altered irrevocably.
But she couldn't release it in November because she was releasing Evermore in December.
So in episode one, you said your favorite song was The One. And I also said that. In episode two, you said your favorite song was still The One. And your least favorite song, if anyone's surprised, you haven't been listening, was Epiphany. And then, like, I just, like, straight up didn't say mine.
Actually, I do think there was at one point where you were like, my favorite song. I feel like there was at one point where you were like, my favorite song is blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, oh, my God, spoiler alert. But I don't remember if it was this one or if it was the Midnight one.
I think, yeah, I could have been either. That sounds like me. What is your favorite and least favorite song as of today, August 1st, 2023?
Okay, so my least favorite song is A Fucking Epiphany. honestly, my favorite song on the album is still The One. Like, that is the one that, like, it fits everything. Like, if I'm in the car driving, if I'm on the beach, if I'm doing Sunday morning brunch, if I'm doing Saturday morning brunch, if I'm in a party mood, like, that one is, like, it can always fit in. So it is still The One, but I'm going to give you my least favorite because I'm not going to bore you with predictability.
Okay.
I feel like at the time we shit on Cardigan as a lead single, and it's really fucking good.
It's really good. I know. And we did shit on it. Yeah. And I thought it was cash grabby because of that. And I think
we were a little traumatized from the awful first single of Me.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's just so many good ones. I really like that one. Mirrorball has aged really well for me. I like Invisible String. I like This Is Me Trying. Mm-hmm. I love The Lakes. Like, I think there's...
Oh, I love The Lakes.
To me, all the songs that I like, minus Epiphany. And to me, it goes Epiphany, Giant Gap, Seven. Which I think, I understand why people like it. I just think the first verse of that song is not for me. And that's why I just don't give it a chance. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's another gap. And then I think, for me personally, it's Mad Woman. And then there's another gap. But I do think, since her release of Vigilante shit, Mad Woman plays really well with that song. And I like it more now having the whole folklore around it.
No, I agree. I think for me, I actually think I'm going to change my favorite song. The One, I think, has a tinge of too much sadness for me. Like, just with my real life. I think I'm going to say my number one song, and this is a little on the nose today, but is August.
August slipped away to a bottle of wine.
Yeah. Okay, so I have been taking melatonin to sleep, LOL, just girly things. And I had a vivid melatonin dream that I got a tattoo that said to live for the hope of it all. And I'm like, that kind of like hits.
So are you going to do it?
I don't know. Like, should I?
I mean, I'm not going to encourage anybody to spend $100-something for a tattoo. But like, if you're a tattoo person and you want something, I feel like that works.
I don't think I am a tattoo person, but I think a lot of girlies are getting it too. I don't think I would get a Taylor Swift tattoo. This is 152 minutes and we're cutting it off. Like, I actually want to die.
We didn't even talk about folklore for most of it.
We didn't talk about it at all.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. Catch us next year on Folklore 4 Year, in which at this point, hopefully, Taylor has released at least something else for us to talk about. Or there's more book talk drama, or
there's a new type of cheese we need to eat.
The caprese. The cheese I would eat during folklore would be like a caprese. Like, I definitely want like sun-sweated tomatoes, some mozzarella, the basil, maybe a cracker. Mm. Like, that's, I feel like I have come to folklore being a summer album, and a caprese salad-ish or caprese sandwich is what I want when I listen to this album.
I know, which, like, I love that for you because for me, I'm, like, still eating, like, a fucking cheese puff. Like, which, like, I love for you, but, like, just, like, fucking my tears ricochet.
Oh,
like,
I'm still, like, locked in a dark room with Cheese Whiz and Ritz crackers for hoax. Like, don't get me wrong. But it's only because by that point of the album, I have eaten my caprese.
Yeah, that's so, like, you're eating your caprese to, like, fucking Great American Dynasty, and then, like, you just slowly transition to a cheese puff.
Find a way to edit that in.
Yeah, well, I want to say one last thing because I just feel like this is really nice, but...
So you just turned into Taylor Swift singing Epiphany there. So I'm going to take that as a sign to go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. And before we wrap up, I just want to share, I think, like, two little pieces about folklore that I didn't get to mention in the episode because of Nick's Wi-Fi cutting out. But I wanted to shout out at Alejandra Janine because she messaged us when I said I was recording this episode. And she said, you better not slander Seven again with a little angry emoji. And I feel like we didn't at all. But I do want to slander the Seven interlude that was at the Eras Tour concert because it was just like so cheesy and like Taylor has so many songs that I feel like started as poetry or could be poetry or whatever, and I just don't feel like Seven is it. And basically, if you haven't been or you haven't been excessively watching on TikTok, Taylor takes the first two, I want to say stanzas, but that's poetry, but like the first two parts of the song Seven, and she has a recording of her saying them like a poem. And I just feel like it didn't hit because it's like, it's lyrics for a song, I feel like, not a poem. I feel like she could have picked way better songs. Let me know if you think that's the case. But because the episode got cut off short, I am going to do a reenactment of the Seven poem interlude at the Eras Tour. Please picture me in the trees. I hit my peak at 7 feet. In the swing, over the creek. I was too scared to jump in. But I was high in the sky with Pennsylvania under me. Are there still beautiful things? Sweet tea in the summer. Cross your heart, won't tell no other. And though I can't recall your face, I still got love for you. Your braid's like a pattern. Love you to the moon and to Saturn. Passed down like folk songs. The love lasts so long. Okay, there you go. I feel like she needed to include, like, love you to the moon and to Saturn is such a, like, iconic phrase in folklore. Like, so many people get matching like moon and Saturn tattoos like with their best friends. And I also think that, like, passed down like folk songs, the love lasts so long. I've talked about this on, I think, the second anniversary of folklore, but like that also makes so much sense to me that she would want to include that, because I think that that is the whole, like, that is the thesis statement of folklore, is that she wants love, or she has love, that are going to be passed down through folk songs, through the album Folklore. And we talk about how, LOL, we think that's about Carly, but, like, don't get me started. So anyways, yeah, I was like, I just wish at this point you had sung the song, but it was, I actually forgot about this, even though I watch the Eras Tour on TikTok every Friday and Saturday night. But I was really, really excited to hear this because I had completely forgot about it. And then the last thing I want to say, just because it is very folklore, obviously, because it's from the song The One,
But me and the podcast collective girlies had lunch at the bus stop cafe. So in the song The One, she goes, I thought I saw you at the bus stop. I didn't, though. We all know. And a lot of people, probably most people, myself included, until we met Cam, from what I will say, thought that the bus stop just meant like an actual bus stop. But then if you think about it, why would Taylor know anybody at this point who is taking a bus? And I know that like this song could be about teens, August and Betty and blah, blah, blah. But if you relate it back to Taylor, it is the bus stop cafe, which is located in the West Village where she lived on Cornelia Street in New York. And we had lunch there. I had like a pasta, like a clam chowder soup, and like, I don't know, it was really good though. And we sat on the patio, and the actual inside of the restaurant is like yellow and really cute. It had like this really cute New York bathroom. Like, just the vibes were impeccable, and the food was delish, service was great. Obviously, the gossip and the tea that was spilled by the podcast collective was top notch. So 10 out of 10 would recommend, but it was so fun going to the bus stop and just pretending that I was Taylor Swift walking by, seeing, you know, my ex on the patio, or thinking I saw my ex on the patio and it was actually someone else. So anyways, this was so, so much fun. I guess I should do like my ending, okay? Because this isn't usually how I end podcasts, but okay, let's do it. another throat clear. And there you have it. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Nick for joining me on today's episode. If you enjoyed it, the best things you can do for me are leave a 5-star rating and review, share it on your Instagram stories, tell a friend. And if you're looking for more content, you can subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/rtbppodcast. I post a new episode every Thursday where I deep dive pop culture topics that you want to hear about or cover more stories that I didn't get to on the main pod. Okay, friends, I hope that you are safe and healthy out there. As always, I'm your host, Tori, and I am ready to be petty. See you soon. Bye.